Welcome to the SBS Digital Learning Hour, brought to you by the Digital Learning and Assessment Department. We're coming to you today from a conference room in Central Office, bringing you the latest news in Springfield Public Schools in regards to technology, along with inspiring interviews from teachers who are using technology in the classroom. I am your host, Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy. You can find me out on all the socials at Bearded Tech Ed, my personal website, beardedtechedguy.com, and of course, the digital learning page on the MySBS intranetwork. So as we've gone about this summer, we are replaying a few episodes, and then we're going to finish a book study that we started a little while ago. And by a little while, I mean over a year ago. And that is on the Distance Learning Playbook. The last 2 weeks, we've listened to modules 1 and 2, kind of replay them for you. This week is the last replay, and that is of module 3. And then, of course, we got distracted by all the other awesome things that have happened here in the district. But I wanted to revisit this over the summer because this book has a lot of great application for in-classroom teaching, not just distance learning. A lot of the things that they talk about in this book, the authors Douglas Fisher, Nancy Fry, and John Hattie, actually apply when you are teaching in the classroom itself. And so that's why we're revisiting it. One of the things you might have noticed is that the audio hasn't been as great. Those episodes were recorded while I was learning to set up my own home studio, which I did not have at the time, but that was near the beginning of COVID. And so, of course, I had to learn how to use it. So the audio, again, is not the best for the first few modules here. And that includes this one that you're going to listen to too. So if you hadn't had a chance to grab this awesome book, I highly recommend you doing so. It's probably a lot cheaper now that remote learning is a lot less common as it was a couple of years ago. But this book has a lot of great tools in it. And again, it reminds me of that The First Year of Teaching book. I think that's what it was called. It's been a while since I've read it, but it was a great book where it kind of walked you through like the things to expect when you are a new teacher. And so this module, module 3, is teacher-student relationships from a distance. And a lot of the things, again, from a distance actually apply in person. And so we're going to take a look at the crucial relationships between teachers and students in the classroom. If you're going to help your students, you got to have a relationship with them. There were years I did this fantastically. I know I just made up a word there. And there's other years where I struggled because I was struggling to connect with the students. And so there's a lot of great tools that I wish I would have had when I was teaching. So again, check out the book. We're going to jump into the module 3, and then I am going to come back on the other end and just kind of wrap it up. Let's take a listen to the Distance Learning Playbook module 3 replay episode. So let's get to the meat and bones of today. So with module 3, teacher-student relationships from a distance, one of the things that I really pulled out of it is that it's all about connections and making connections to your students, whether that is remotely, which is where this book focuses, or even in person. So I keep coming back to the fact that this book, even though it's written for distance learning, is really just about learning in general and how we do it. Positive relationships between teachers and students is at the heart of learning. And as you and I both know, when we have great relationships with students, they tend to be more responsive to anything that we're doing. And if we have relationships that struggle, then it's a struggle. It's one of those things I recognize from my years in teaching in the classroom. And one of the things I really liked about this module is that it kind of pointed out some ways and things to think about as you are going about it. One of the things that I like is right at the beginning, they refer to the mind frames of visible learning. I focus on learning and the language of learning. I strive for challenging and not merely doing your best. I recognize that learning is hard work. I build relationships and trust so that learning can occur in a place where it is safe to make mistakes and learn from others. I engage in as much dialogue as monologue. I inform all others about the language of learning. I am a change agent, and I believe that all students can improve. I give and help students to understand feedback, and I interpret or act on feedback given to me.
I see assessment as informing my impact and my next steps. I collaborate with other teachers. When I read that list, I thought back to like the first days of school and some of the things that we would do and kind of creating the culture for the classroom, especially the first few, the focus on learning and the language of learning, strive for challenge, not merely doing your best. Learning is hard work, and that's we are in a place where we can make mistakes and learn from each other. Those are all things that I know when I taught, I was always constantly trying to do. Some years I was more successful at it, others I was not. And as I was reading through this chapter or module, I kept thinking back to my years in the classroom, in particular, some of my tougher years and a couple of my really good years. And I can see how the stuff that they discuss in this module, like really kind of fell in there without me even thinking about it. So these are kind of the things that underpin all of our interactions with students. And that's what this first module does, is they want you to reflect on what you already know and things that you've done and kind of see where you're coming from. I also liked that they gave some characteristics of teacher-student relationships. Teacher empathy, which is understanding. Unconditional positive regard, which is warmth. Genuineness, the teacher's self-awareness. Non-directivity, student-initiated and student-regulated activities. Encouragement of critical thinking as opposed to traditional memory emphasis. All of these things help us with developing our relationships with our students, having the understanding or the empathy, and making sure that your classroom is a warm place to be. And even doing that online can be just as difficult because we are thinking about it through the lens of on the computer. And we all have those times when we just want to hit mute on everybody. But we need to be able to have positive interactions with our students. And when they are positive and they're maintained and the process is seen as fair by the students, then it helps encourage learning and it helps open the mind to allow them to make mistakes, because out of mistakes is where we really learn. And so a couple of the things that I liked is on page 51 of the book, and it's in the online resources, which I do include a link in this episode, is there is a section on Notes to Self. So reminders on how to do the teacher empathy, the positive regard, the genuineness, the non-directivity, the encouragement of critical thinking. So they give you a few examples of things that you can do. One of my favorites is begin synchronous and asynchronous lessons with a positive affirmation, a favorite quote, a silly joke, a short video message, establish office hours, host check-ins. So as you're doing your day, and now that we are in this hybrid mode, we have to really take into account all of these things because we don't want there to be a perception of those who are in person and those who are not in person are not getting what they need, but everybody is able to be in the environment together, working together. I really encourage you to go and get that link. It's in the show notes for the Notes to Self. I think it's very valuable. And it's definitely something that if I were still teaching, I would probably have a copy of it on my desk, like taped to the desk. I used to have one of those desks with like the little pull-out drawer, like pull-out shelf. I'd sometimes set my laptop on it so I could do work on the desk and have that there. But I would tape it to that thing if it were me. One of the things that I know I never really took into account when I was teaching was how my perception and the way I dealt with students would have an effect on the other students with that student. I never really thought about that until I was reading this. And sometimes I know I definitely failed in that area. Other times I really excelled. But it's one of those things where it's like, oh, because the teacher feels this way and I want to honor the teacher, I also need to feel this way, which isn't right. It isn't the best thing for your classroom. And it's definitely not going to create a good learning environment. And I see that now, and I wish I could go back and take some of these things that I'm learning from this module and kind of apply them to teaching and how I ran my classroom at times, because I know that I definitely failed in this area. And so if you are a student of mine and you do recognize after reading some of this, like, yeah, Mr. Thomas didn't do quite as good job there. Please accept my apology. Another section in this module is called a chilly classroom. And the idea that it's a classroom where things are criticized more often for failure, praised less frequently, receive less feedback, called on less, less eye contact, fewer friendly interactions with the teacher, experience acceptance of their own ideas less often. When these things start to happen, they start to create a chilly classroom environment where the students don't feel quite as safe to take chances. They're going to just want the correct answer and be done with it, not go through the full process of thinking through everything. And so these are some things that we do have to be aware of as we're teaching, and even online, doing these things can be challenging. So I know that when it comes to at least calling on students, you can have a random wheel generator. There's lots of great ones out there. If you've got a Promethean board, you can just put that right into your board, which is pretty neat. But making sure that you are not calling on the same students and not harping on the same mistakes from the same students is important. It helps to create a warmer classroom. So that's a lot of stuff that you would do on your end, but sometimes you have to just trust in the process.
Like what you've heard so far? Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So thank you for your support. Now, back to the show.
One of the sections in here, reaching the hard to teach, sometimes you have to act your way into being. They credit the quote, Archbishop Desmond Tutu. In other words, sometimes you have to change in behavior precedes the change in perception. So you have to make sure that things and your behaviors to having positive relationships, those are things that you can control. And once you have made those changes, then the change will come in perception because they will see you standing behind the things that you're saying. I like in here, again, if you go to the show notes, you can get some of the downloads. They have this nice little interaction chart where it has you think about a few students. Maybe it's students that you have a hard time reaching, as what this section is about. And it has some interactions to help you get into that idea of having positive interactions with your students. Like, did I greet them by name when they entered the class? How many times did I use their name, not as a correction, during the session? Did I ask them critical thinking questions related to the content? Like, are you calling on them? Did you ask them any personal questions? Did you pay them any compliments? Like, there's a little chart in here so you can keep track of how often you're doing it. And then through that, you can kind of help evaluate the areas where you might want to think about improving to help create the more positive interactions with your students. And then the last section of the module was really about increasing touch points with your students. And by touch points, it's that interaction. The way that they phrase it in there, and a lot of this, is think about when you're online. And every time you go to a website, especially one that sells something, usually a pop-up will appear. And then as you click through a few pages, maybe you'll get the person in the bottom saying, I'm here to help you. Ask me any questions. Or and then before you leave a website, they might sometimes also send you another pop-up saying, did you check this out before you left? And then afterwards, because they all track us and we all agree to it, we get emails if we've ever been on their site or used it before and logged in with some account, being like, hey, you left this in your cart, or hey, you forgot about this. Hey, don't forget about this. Those are all touch points that we have interaction. Now, thinking about that through a classroom, when we're in person, we see students more often, so we think we have a lot of these touch points with our students, but sometimes we don't. And then online, it's even more difficult because it's less face-to-face time. So they have a few suggestions here. Again, I probably would have like a short list of these that I'd keep either attached to my computer or on my desk somewhere to remind me of doing some of these things. Like, have a system for calling on students and noticing who hasn't participated. So we don't want to do the random gotchas. Like, I know you're not participating, but I'm going to call on you and embarrass you in front of everybody. That's not what we're talking about. we're talking about just constantly working in, calling on random students, so it's not the same students every time. That's where something like on the Promethean board, it's got that wheel where you can just, when you're going to call on somebody, you hit the spin button, it spins. When you're in person, those students are all engaged looking at the screen. Most of them are probably saying, please don't call on me, please don't call on me. But it's all random and you have no control over it. And then you can even set it so that you can't keep calling on the same people, so everybody has to get called on before it resets itself. You can use the tools like that online too when you're in the classroom. So instead of calling on somebody whose camera is blocked or who's not looking like they're paying attention, you can still use those things to call, and that can even be part of on the screen that you share. One of the other things that they do point out in here is because it's not a gotcha, you want to call on the student's name first before you ask the question. It'll seem less like a gotcha in that case. Be like, hey, Bobby, I'm about to call on you to answer this question. And Bobby will perk up because Bobby recognizes that Bobby's name was said. And then you ask the question so that they are involved in the classroom. Other ways that are suggested in the book are ways that I've seen before, which I've even tried before, some to varying degrees of success, like craft sticks, putting cards on a ring, pass it on, which is allowing the student to choose the next person to talk, or keeping a tally on your class roster with simple tick marks. Me personally, I like something that is less on me to keep track of because I'm already creating and trying to keep track of so many things. That's like the popsicle stick one. That's a pretty easy one because you put, after you call on somebody, you put their popsicle stick into another cup until you've gone through everybody. The names on a ring, I don't know about you, but anytime I get cards on a ring, I always get confused at where I left off and which way I'm going. So that one never really worked for me, but some of the other ones do. Make sure every live session includes whole group and small group discussion. Think about your classroom now. When you're in person, you have some version of I do, we do, you do. I do, where I am demonstrating. You do, where we work together through it. Or no, you do is you do it on your own. We do is where we work together on it. And so, like, you already were doing that. Now you got to apply that same process and that same thinking to your online class. So you need to have whole group time. You need to have small group time to be able to ask those critical thinking questions and the non-directive questions. If you're using breakout rooms, use the breakout rooms. That's a great place for small group dialogue. This will also help on lecture time because that you could do some recorded experiences so that students can watch them on their own or rewatch them as much as they need. And in here, it talks about older students can be designed to or be asked to help design questions in advance of what you're doing. So those are some very common things that we were already doing in person, but now we have to consider how to do them remotely. This one I always find true is if you assign discussion boards, you need to be active in them too. Not just reading students' responses, but you need to be in there encouraging the discussion and even helping guide the discussion because sometimes students might not be on track with what you're trying to get them to do through discussion boards. They can be very powerful tools. They can force students to all respond. They can give every student a voice. But you also need to be a part of them. You can't just read them and grade them. You need to be interacting with them. And then like I was talking about with the ads, they have used pop-up pedagogy to increase touch points across the week. So a few of the things is like have a weekly reminder sent out if you're using something like Reminder Class Dojo. Create intriguing questions. So thinking about your objectives for the day, like trying to reword it so it's now a mystery that they have to be excited, that they get to be excited about. One of the things that they do is have students post pictures of work and then you create a carousel feature on the LMS, which is possible, where you can just have everybody look through work. You can do weekly newsletters. You can make short videos, use voice recording feedback tools on student assignments, which is possible inside of Schoology. And I highly suggest you take a look at that, since we are a Schoology district. And for those of you who are listening who are using Unified Classroom right now, it's, I believe, possible there too. You would just upload a file. So there's lots of ways that you can create those interactions with your students. This is no way an exhaustive list. They even say that in the chapter here, in the module here. But this is just a place for you to get started. And what you'll notice is a lot of these things are things that we would normally do in the classroom and ways that we would help interact and create a positive classroom environment in the classroom. We would actually still do them remotely. We just have to think about them in a different way and using different tools. And as we know, quality teaching and quality classrooms have a foundation in positive teacher-student relationships, and that helps build the environment so that you can do more challenging things. So whether you're doing this in person or remote, these are some things that you need to think about and maybe even change in your approach. I know that after reading this chapter, I definitely would have changed a few things that I've mentioned already in my approach in working in the classroom. So that kind of wraps up my thoughts on this section. If you've read the book, what are your thoughts? What are some things that you are considering after reading this? You can leave us some comments in the comment section of wherever you're listening to this podcast. You can go out on Twitter and tweet at me and let me know what you think with this. I'm excited to talk with you about this book. The next time we talk about it, module 4 is Teacher Credibility at a Distance, which I'm super excited to learn more about and check out and share with you. Well, there you go. There's the replay of module 3. I hope that you were able to pick up some great tips and tricks for teaching in this upcoming school year in your classroom. And again, having strong relationships is the very heart of effective teaching. And this book definitely explores it. I just want to point out one more time a few of the characteristics that go into a teacher-student relationship, because they are so important. And that is the teacher empathy, that's giving them understanding. Unconditional positive regard, that's giving them warmth. Genuineness, that is your self-awareness. Non-directivity, the student-initiated and student-regulated activities, and encouragement of critical thinking as opposed to, you know, the traditional memory work. So all of these things are really important. And again, when it comes to building those relationships with your students, you want to make sure that you're sharing just the right amount of information. They don't need to know your entire life story. They don't even need to know exactly what you do on the weekend. But they do need to have some sort of relationship with you. Make sure you leave your thoughts and comments on the website page for this episode. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on this. Make sure that you go ahead and do that. And again, I think this book is super informative and super helpful, especially for newer teachers. Next week, we're going to dive into teacher credibility at a distance, but we're going to talk about how that at a distance really is in-person practical tools too. Thank you again for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of the SPS Digital Learning Hour, we'd love to have your support for the podcast. Please share it with others, post about it on social media, leave us a rating and review, head over to iTunes or Spotify. I was going to say Stitcher, but they are closing up shop. So if you're a Stitcher listener, you're going to have to find a new podcast platform. We are pretty much available everywhere. So wherever you listen to us, make sure that you are subscribed. Leave us a 5-star review. Those kind of reviews help us move up the boards and help more people learn about all the awesome things that are happening here inside the Springfield Public School District. You can, of course, follow me and all my latest posts, blogging, and podcasting on Instagram, Twitter, and my website, Bearded Tech Ed Guy. I am Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy, and this is the SPS Digital Learning Hour.